Hello and welcome to another Freelance Up North podcast with me, Ben Davis from Zifferblatt and Katie Carlisle from Freelance Folk. This podcast gets different freelancers from up north to come and chat about what it's like being freelance up here, what events they like, what networks they've joined, and general tips and advice. So my co-host is Katie. Katie is a freelance Squarespace web designer and trainer, plus she's also the founder of Freelance Folk pop-up co-working sessions. Hello, Katie.
Hello, Ben. Thank you very much. And Ben basically just goes on the internet for a living. He's the head of marketing at Zifferblatt, which is a pay-per-minute sitting room, co-working and event space based in Manchester, Media City and Liverpool. And we've got another guest on the podcast today. So let's hear from Katia Willems, who is a social media manager and Instagram coach. And Katia, do you want to just explain a little bit more about yourself and what you do?
I'm a little bit of a jack of all trades, but I am focusing on Instagram now because I absolutely love it. And there aren't really any Instagram trainers in Manchester. So
which I can't believe.
Yeah, I
know. I know. And I don't know why that is. But I deliver Instagram workshops and I deliver one-to-one training. I help people with their accounts. I do a bit of consultancy. And I do more broadly social media as well, social media management. Mm. And any tidbits that come my way as well.
Cool. Okay, so we'll crack on with our questions. So what events are good for freelancers up north?
Well, I know this has been talked about a lot, but I love Freshwalks so much. Freshwalks is networking, but it's out in the Peak District and you go for a big old hike. It could be anything from 7 miles to 20 miles. I've been going for nearly 3 years now. And actually, I probably go every couple of weeks.
And you're basically the winner of Freshwalks, right?
I am the winner. Last year in 2017, I had walked the most miles of anybody, which is like, it was something like over 300 kilometres, I know that. And this year, I'm still top of the leaderboard, new year, new leaderboard, and I'm about 100k this year. And that's an incentive to keep going as well. Quite proud of that. But it's just a wonderful way of networking because it doesn't feel like networking, and in a way it isn't, because you're just like, I know I'm going to go on this amazing, beautiful walk. I'm going to come back reinvigorated, full of lots of ideas. I'm going to forget about all the stupid things I'm stressing about, and I'm going to hang out with really motivated, interesting, inspiring people. And it isn't an environment where people are handing out business cards or doing anything really transactional. It's just like, who are you? And you just have a nice chat. And friendships and business relationships do form off the back of it, but in a much more organic way.
So you actually get to know the people as people.
Yeah.
First.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've had all sorts of opportunities that aren't necessarily directly about getting business. So there's a lovely lady called Kath Brown, who is a coach, and she needed a guinea pig to train on, to test her coaching skills out on. So she's been coaching me since September, and that has been awesome. She's so on it as a coach. And there's an amazing photographer called Jill Jennings, and we got to know each other, and now I'm assisting her as a photographer assistant. Because I'm trying to improve my photography, so that's been brilliant. I got my accountant from Freshwalks. I do some work for Mike Pye from Freshwalks. So, like, there's a lot going on there.
It sounds like, yeah, a proper kind of community as
well. Yeah, and I'm just so excited to see everybody every time I go as well.
And do you think that being outdoors specifically helps with your kind of mindset?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's the physical exertion and the challenge. You go through something difficult together, and actually sometimes you're kind of slightly hating it because it's snowing and it's windy and it's horrible, and you're going up hills all the time. But at the end of it, you're just like high as a kite.
It's a nice bonding experience, yeah. Then, do you think, for people? Because, like you say, you've got that shared trials and tribulations to
overcome. As in, this is shit.
I think having a shared goal sometimes really helps those sorts of things. Like, you see a lot of, like we were saying before, a lot of like themed networking things now, which can be a little bit tacky or contrived or a grace, because you've got this common thing that makes you almost act as a sort of, I don't know, I'm not going to say icebreaker, but that connective things that make you talk to each other. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it kind of like you've got a common goal, and that's the entry point for you to start talking.
Yeah, because I think a lot of networking events can bring out the absolute worst in people. Because you feel so awkward that you come up with rubbish small talk as well, and whoever else is there thinks you're an idiot, but you're not, because you just don't know how to express yourself in a stupid situation.
It feels a little bit like a dance that everyone knows is daft. But you're all going, oh, how about that weather? Bloody traffic. And you're like, what am I saying?
Yeah, I know. It's a little bit desperate.
Yeah,
And it's so interesting because we've had, you know, we've had a few guests on the show now, and everybody has said very similar things in that they really hate the traditional networking events. And that's something we find at Freelance Folk as well. People like to come to that because it doesn't have that pressurised environment.
Yeah.
And so it does make you wonder kind of who... Yeah, how are they still getting when everybody hates them?
Why hasn't somebody thought of an alternative?
Yeah,
well, I mean, and I think there are, but not enough. Because there's a massive gap in the market.
There's still so much opportunity for more people to get creative with how they rethink. I mean, not even calling it networking necessarily, but the rethink establishing connections with people that you would really benefit from knowing.
Yeah.
I think there is similar things where there's sort of like a matchmaking service in certain networks and stuff like that. But I agree with you. I think people just go, oh, right, we'll get them all in a room together and they'll talk.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that. It's actually,
I want to do Crystal Maze networking. That's what I want to do next.
That would be brilliant.
Yeah, again, or escape room thing. Overcoming shared experiences together.
Yeah, I can see that happening. So on that note, actually, so... are there any useful networks beyond sort of just events that you would suggest joining?
Online or face-to-face?
Do you know what? I've thought of some other kind of networking events and ideas. Have you heard of Business Sorority?
Yes.
Heather Gray and Jen Quinn.
Heather the other day.
So they are young women. It is targeted at young, ambitious women, but I'm 42 and I go, whatever. What I really like about that is that they do sort of team bonding type exercises. Mm. And that could be so cheesy.
Mm.
But because Heather and Jen have such sort of fantastic larger than life personalities, they totally get away with it because they're just so funny.
Yeah.
And they really bring a room together. They get people in groups asking each other questions, and it's just really thought provoking.
Mm.
And my instinct when I first went to that event was to talk to the two or three people I already knew in that room, but because they were like, right, we're breaking you up, you're going on that table, you're going on that table, you're going to discuss these questions, I had no choice but to get to know quite a lot of people there, and it really worked.
And you said they were asking you some quite thought-provoking questions as well, so it's not just, again, the trivial whether blah, 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 have you got any pets type of stuff. It was actually quite like...
yeah, like quite deep questions about female friendship, and yeah, because you ended up exposing a lot about yourself quite early on, it made the bonds a bit deeper with those women that you sat with.
Smashed the ice.
Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing that I've thought of is that one of the best ways of networking for me is to go to brilliant courses and events.
Mm.
If I feel really passionately about a course I'm attending or a talk that I'm going to, the chances are I'm going to meet like-minded people there. And I think you have to make the most of that opportunity. If I'm going to go to an Instagram talk, of course there's going to be people there who are on my wavelength. So don't just go home afterwards. See if you can chat with people.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes that you can have something like... how you define yourself and how you identify yourself as a freelancer can somehow prevent you from getting as much out of these events as you want to do. So I know when I first set up, like, I still call myself a Squarespace expert. If I can avoid putting myself in the drop-down box of web developer, I will.
Mm.
But when I first started out, certainly I felt very much like, oh, I can't go to the techie events because I'm not a real techie person. Even though I know I'm a massive geek. I love technology, but I don't do, you know, hardcore database code and stuff. And I was a bit scared that if I went to those kinds of events, that people would then kind of go, oh, but you don't really know what you're doing. And actually, I wish I'd gone to more of those because I think something, like you said, is really valuable about finding like-minded people. And one thing I think about the freelance community, especially because we're all northerners and lovely, or, you know, based in the north and lovely, that everyone's dead friendly and everyone wants to help other people.
Absolutely.
And there's something about that, you know, meeting like-minded people that a bit like you said on Freshworks, you don't necessarily, they don't become customers necessarily, but they might refer you, or they might support you, or you might collaborate with them. And there's so much opportunity beyond just going and selling at people.
Yeah, and then you might start following each other on Twitter
yeah.
and just helping each other out a bit.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because we've had Helen Dibble on as a guest as well, and she said a very similar thing, and that one of the best ways of networking is going to something that she's passionate about or wants to learn about, and finding other people that are interested in that as well. So that's really cool. Are there any online networks that you found useful?
Yes, I am in a blogger kind of group, which I know isn't relevant to everyone, but it's a brilliant group. It's a closed Facebook group, but I think, you know, anyone can pretty much join. Yeah. And it goes with the What She Said podcast. And I think the Facebook group is What She Said, and it's okay. run by a lady called Lucy Lucraft, who is a blogger herself. And she just does these amazing podcasts in a very sort of vulnerable way about what it's like to be a blogger and operate in the online world. And she'll interview other bloggers and people with similar careers. And the way that the conversations go are always really honest and vulnerable and really sharing and generous. And I think Lucy, the way that she just admits all sorts of things about her own, like, failings and the things she's finding difficult.
Which is so nice in this world yeah. where, you know, there's so much kind of people putting out perfection and yeah. and everything. I think it's so nice to actually see the real story and the reality of freelancing or being an entrepreneur.
We've worked with several bloggers who actually have said, you know, I love my job, I love what I do for a living. But it also can be quite lonely sometimes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, really
lonely. Very
lonely. And actually, I think as well, what people, and this people in freelance also have this problem quite often, you're on your own, and you don't have anyone to bounce ideas off. And that really impacts, I really struggle yeah. with that, not being able to go, what do you think of this? Because you need feedback of others.
Ideas grow
off people, you know, and I think the other thing as well is there's such a pressure on be creative, come up with good content, you're only as good as your last post or blog or whatever, this and the other. That's the other thing that I think can be quite pressurising for a lot of people who are in that, pressurising, but it can add a lot of pressure for people who are in that space because they have that consistent.
Yeah, because you go into that field because it's all sparkly and exciting, and then you turn professional, and then shit, you've got to produce regular content.
Yeah. And especially,
it's not as casual anymore, is it?
It's like for you, if you're an Instagram coach, you feel the pressure of, or do you feel the pressure of having to have a really good Instagram?
Depends on what day it is. Haven't posted for a few days.
So with that,
I wanted to go on about what she said though. Facebook group is so generous. Like, I've put, like, a lot of people just go on there and say when they're feeling shit. So I've sort of gone, all right, I'm going to embrace this. I'm going to tell everyone when I feel like shit. And I've been really honest about when I've been having bad days and been quite specific about why I'm having a bad day. And the amount of support I've had has been amazing. But it's not just namby-pamby support. It's not like, oh, Polly.
Yeah.
It's like constructive, really helpful support. And it's a group that I know it's nice to know it's there.
And then you can then go on in turn and support somebody else if they're having a tough time. Yeah. And it feels that kind of community feeling.
Yeah, and it's a small group. It's only about 250 people.
Okay,
so
it's not too overwhelming.
Yeah, it feels quite intimate.
Are they northern-based or not?
No, but it's a mixture of people all over the country.
Sure.
And obviously you're kind of all over the social media stuff with your kind of training and social media management, and you probably spend all day listing some people that are good to follow. But if you could just pick a few people that freelancers around the north or just in general should follow.
Well, I absolutely love Sarah Tasker, whose hashtag I think is all or me with some underscores in. I'm not going to try and spell it. Loads of people have heard of Sarah. She's an Instagram guru, and she is somebody who's incredibly generous with her Instagram advice. She's the absolute queen of Instagram, and she's always, you know, got some latest update that she's talking about on Twitter. Funnily enough, she shares a lot of her information on Twitter. And she does this thing called Insta Chat on I think it's one Tuesday a month or something, where she'll ask her audience questions about Instagram, and there'll be this big sharing on a Tuesday evening. But I just pick up so much information about Instagram through Sarah.
And she does a lot of podcasts as well, doesn't she?
Yeah, both her podcasts and are guests awesome.
And other ones.
Yeah.
I don't know, yeah, you've mentioned that you really like her as well, and how she's very, again, very kind of authentic and vulnerable, but not in a kind of hashtag authentic, contrived, vulnerable way.
Although her podcast is called hashtag authentic.
God, I feel like maybe I did know that, but I didn't mean that.
That's fair.
And is there anyone else that you'd recommend to follow on social media?
Another person in Sarah Tasker's world is a lady called Sass Petherick. She is a self-doubt coach.
Wow.
Yeah, and I like her podcast as well, but she's this Kiwi lady. I think she's in her 40s, but she has this amazing kind of warmth and wisdom and jolliness. And like, she knows all that. She's done a PhD in self-doubt or something. But she knows all the scientific side to what happens in bits of your brain when you react to a situation where you sense fear. And often it's inaccurate, but it's a kind of primal reaction.
Yeah.
And she helps you break it down so that you can rationalise it a bit more and not react to that physical fear.
That sounds amazing. And I mean, we've talked about kind of having a niche and focus on other episodes, and that is very niche and focused. That's amazing.
Yeah, but I definitely think we're going through that stage now, aren't we, as a society, I think, where people are being a bit more honest, and no one's, you know, actually, the kind of traditional front that people would put on, I think, is slowly becoming cracked a little bit, isn't it? And actually people are just...
Because it doesn't work either. It doesn't work,
and people just are trying to be more honest now, and so they should be. Do you know what I mean? If you're having a shit day, you're having a shit day. Everyone gets them. Do you know what I mean? And it's quite refreshing seeing the rise of this collective, I don't know, self-improvement, but honesty towards this sort of stuff is,
and
really
I think just
positive, I think.
Acknowledging that we're not perfect and that we struggle, and you know, and I don't know if it's, I don't know which way round this happens, but I've noticed a massive increase in freelancers talking about the mental health, and in particular about anxiety or depression, but especially anxiety. And I don't know if it's that a lot of people go freelance because the kind of world of employment isn't really set up for people who have problems around mental health, or even are just kind of, you know, not conventional robots that want to work in that environment. I don't know if it's because of that they go freelance and so there's a higher proportion, or whether it's just that as freelancers they feel more able to share it if they're going through that.
I think it's probably a bit of both, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because that's it. There's a lot of things I wouldn't have talked about in my corporate job.
No, exactly.
Because I would have felt that wasn't professional.
Yeah, and it's seen as a failing or something. And I think, you know, like, you know, I mention about my anxiety. I don't kind of talk about it massively, but I mention it in passing because I want to kind of let people know that even if, you know, yeah, this is what I've achieved despite this. But, you know, even as a freelancer, it can be worrying. If you've got clients, you think, is it professional to do that? But I think it's becoming more the norm that people do share about stuff.
And I think people normalising it is really important as well, because if there's a general shift towards people being more considerate towards this, that's the last frontier, isn't it? When a client kind of goes, treat you like a human as opposed to a business transaction. I don't think we're necessarily 100% there, but it would be. It's nice to see that it's moving that
way.
Direction.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I, you know, if I'd been in a Facebook group and there was somebody that said, "I'm having a crap day," and I then kind of got to know them a bit through that, there's no way that them saying that would make me not want to work with them.
No.
Because actually, that would maybe make me want to work with them more, because they're actually acknowledging when they're working well and when they're not. So I think it's really interesting, this whole new way that social media is actually opening up, like you say, that kind of honest discussion. And, you know, kind of going on from social media, do you find that you've got a particular favourite tool or app to use, either to manage social media stuff or just in general to use to help your freelance life?
Probably my favourite tools are Instagram related, and I love an app called Mosaico, which is a planning app for Instagram, which allows you to see your post before you post it. So it'll show you what's already on your Instagram feed, and then you put a new picture in and it will show you what the feed will look like once you've posted it. But it's a very good way of working out, oh, does this fit in my feed? And that's really, really helped me out a lot. And also it saves all your favourite hashtags.
Oh,
saves
really
about 150
good.
Of them, so that's I can just good. Tap through them really quickly instead of like spending half an hour writing them all out. And the other one is called Visco, which is a photo editing app. Which
that's for the letters V-S-C-O, is
yeah,
that right?
That's yeah. right. And basically it's a free app. I think you pay about, I don't know, a few quid for some filters. But what that's allowed me to do is create a very consistent look on my Instagram, because I always use the same filter, any of the C filters I use. And I've found that it makes my photos really pop.
Yeah.
And also the Visco tool, it has very good editing. You know, the normal editing things like clarity
yeah.
and brightness and all of that, I just find them a bit more subtle and nuanced than, say, the Instagram editing
yeah,
apps.
Yeah, you can get some stuff on Instagram that can get a bit over...
Yeah, it's a bit clunky.
Yeah, it's a bit over-edited and it's a bit clunky and it's a bit... Sometimes you can see when someone's clearly just gone, max this,
yeah.
max that, max this,
just
max
like
that.
Overexpose
yeah,
everything.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I must say, I'm a big fan of a lot of saturation. I know I shouldn't, but I can't resist it.
Aren't we all? Life in HD colour.
Exactly.
So with that... we were talking before about sort of vulnerabilities and stuff like that. What have been your, we all make mistakes, what have been your favourite freelance fails that you've done personally?
I think my worst fail is putting way, way, way too much pressure on myself and over-reading into relationships with clients and being like, oh my God, they've asked me for all this stuff. This is outrageous. I can't do it all. And thinking it's like a much bigger deal than it is. And that's something I'm really having to learn to try and calm down about, because it seems very specific to me.
Yeah.
It can't be that every situation I get into, there's a really like over the top client asking me for too much. It's something.
Are you the common denominator?
Yes.
So what have you been doing to try and overcome that? Because I think that probably will sound familiar to people.
I think now I've been a freelance for a while, at least I'm able to recognise,
yeah.
oh, look at this, it's happening again. and I think a bit of it's just going to be time. As I become a more established freelancer, I'll probably just be more and more confident in situations. I think a lot of it for me is just realising this is something I do and it's not helpful, and I'm realising that I'm probably overreacting. And
I did this originally when I used to work in events. Now, events people are renowned for putting in, I don't know, there's almost like a martyrdom to it where I've been there for this many hours, and some clients, I think sometimes, can take advantage a little bit because they're there like, oh, I'm going to charge you 20 quid and I'll be here for 17 hours. Do you know what I mean? And it's interesting, but actually some of the early jobs I'd have, I could pull some absolutely mental hours, but they didn't ask you for that.
Yeah.
You made
yeah.
you
put that pressure
do
on yourself.
That actually.
Yeah.
And actually, if you turn around, which I did it eventually, to one of them and go, I'm everything's sorted here, I'm gonna go at this time. And
yeah.
they go, yeah, sure.
Yeah, because they clients tend to take their lead from you.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you say, I'm done,
yeah,
they'll be like, okay, you're done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have had some coaching with Michelle Pratt, who I think you've interviewed.
She's been
as well.
On this, yeah.
And she really picked up on my tendency to refer to it as over delivering and getting myself in a state and working too hard, basically.
Yeah.
And it was really helpful, her getting me to get a bit of perspective on it, because she just said, if you carry on at this rate, you'll end up ill.
Mm.
And I was like, actually, that was quite grounding, because I was like, well, no, I'm doing this to myself. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to see it for what it is.
Yeah. And I think, like you say, the clients sometimes. I've certainly felt this way with websites. So I use a template-based website tool, which does come with compromises and limitations. And so sometimes I'll have a client who's seen another website that probably cost like 20 grand to make, and they've come to me and paid £1,000. Now they don't know that cost 20 grand to make, and so they don't know what all the limitations are of Squarespace.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do a lot, but of
yeah.
course there are limitations. So they'll say, oh, can it do this, and can it do this, and can it do this? And for a very long time, I would, kind of put so much pressure on myself and try to kill myself, trying to work out how to make Squarespace do that thing.
Yeah.
And actually what I found is, if you then say to clients, oh, well, actually, that's something that has been custom made, and it isn't there, you know, it's not something you can easily do out of the box of Squarespace. If you wanted, we can get a quote to see how much that would cost to create that custom work, but it's not there out of the box. And they go, okay, cool, no, it's not that important. I just thought it was nice and I happened to mention it. Whereas before, I'd have been spending, you know, days trying to find some way to do this when it was just an offhand comment that they'd made.
Mm. Yeah, so that I think it's
probably
really familiar.
Very universal, this thing, like, as well. So we've talked about, you know, the places where you feel like online as well, you know, you've gone into the Facebook group and you felt like you've really been able to get some support there. Are there any kind of organisations that you think are really good for that in terms of getting support if you're a freelancer, so either local ones or national organisations, or any other groups where you found it was really helpful joining this as a freelancer?
I can't think of anything. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
Fair enough. You've mentioned some really good ones.
And I think a few people
support.
Have talked about Business Growth Hub and stuff like that. Yeah, you know, sure. So I think we've probably covered a lot of the main ones as well.
Let's look at this then. How about, have you, who are your favourite folks? As in, are there any freelancers that you would personally recommend yourself?
Well, I love Jill Jennings Photography. That's the lady I assist. Mm. And I mentioned Kath Brown, who is, well, she's a legal trainer and she's a coach. And she is an awesome coach. Mm. So I really recommend her. And as I mentioned, Michelle Pratt has given me some I love coach.
Yeah.
I love coaching.
Clearly.
Michelle Pratt is also an awesome coach.
Did you have like four coaches at one point?
Yeah.
Did they know about each other?
I'm not sure they did,
really?
Actually.
Oh no, we're just right, out well, of
you. Now
sorry. Awkward. But do you have different coaches for different areas of your kind of life and business, or do you find it's just the different perspectives that helps?
Yeah, and different things you need at different times, really.
Because I think that's really helped me. I mean, I've worked with Michelle as well. We're big fans of Michelle. And I think just having that person to be an objective viewpoint and like kind of tell you straight, you're doing this thing, do you know you're doing this thing?
Yeah.
And kind of to question what you're doing. So I've had it before where I like to have a lot of side projects. I'm very easily distracted by a new shiny thing. And when I'm setting targets or setting goals, I have a tendency to try and set like 100 goals and try and think I'm going to do everything. And actually it's been really helpful to then have somebody saying to me like, well, do you think you can really do all that? What if you just have four? And I'm like, no, I couldn't possibly just have four. But somehow I've managed to do it. And then you kind of go, do you know what? I'd actually rather do those four goals really well rather than just kind of really struggle like with either do a half-assed job of doing the rest of them.
And that's it. If you were your mate, you'd probably see that.
Yeah.
But you it's can't so see it yourself, can you?
Exactly. And something that we've done with Michelle Katia that actually think worked really well is actually taking ourselves for little away days as well as freelancers.
Which we're doing.
So the first time we went to a beach hut, and now we're going to a shepherd's hut, and we've also considered the Zipper Black huts at Media City. and that's been really nice just to again have that change of scenery and to have a day to focus on strategy and stuff. So I think in terms of getting support, for me that's actually somewhere that within the freelance community, if you can find the people that you know that kind of question you and inspire you and revitalise you, then actually having a little kind of mini corporate team away day type thing can be really helpful as well.
Definitely.
So I know you and I know that you like food. So this is a question that I think you'll have a lot of answers to. So we're asking everybody, freelance food, where's your favourite places to go for food or to go and work or have a drink in around Manchester in the north?
I don't hang out in town as much as I used to, but I love Federal Cafe. We went there once, didn't we? And I had I think it was brioche French toast.
The brunch is astounding.
Oh, it was awesome. I like Tack. I think it's got a good vibe in there. And I've had an awesome cake in there as well. I like Foundation. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
And I like Ezra and Gill. Yeah. Those are both places with just, like, you know, nice design, nice vibe.
Kind of chilled out places where you can work and not feel...
You really are spoiled for choice in the Northern Court.
Yeah.
Really, it's great. I really like Ezra and Gill. Really like Ezra and Gill. Brilliant.
Fab. Well, thank you for coming on, Katia. And if people want to find you online, where can they find you?
Find me at Katia's Cake Hole on Twitter and Instagram.
Fabulous.
Cool. And you can find Zifferblatt at Zifferblatt Edge ST on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter.
And I'm at The Wheel Exists on all the socials, or if you want to find out more about Freelance Folk and join us for some pop-up co-working sessions, it's at Freelance Folk. And you can also follow the progress of this podcast using the hashtag Freelance Up North.
Thanks, we'll see you soon.